Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, God bless you. This is Evangelist Amos coming to you live from Manna Teaching Ministry. Let's open up with a word of prayer, saints. Thank you for listening in tonight. Father God, I just give you glory and I give you praise for everything that you're doing, Father. Lord, I thank you that you're the glue that holds everything together by your word. Father, you said that the worlds were framed by the word of God. And Lord, we give you glory and we give you praise for your word tonight. We lift you up, we magnify you, and we give you glory for everything that you're doing, both seen and unseen in our lives. God, we thank you. Hallelujah, for the spirit of faith being released tonight in your word by the spirit of God. And we thank you for greater works than these shall we do, because you, Lord Jesus, are sitting at the right hand of the throne of grace, and you are praying and interceding for us, your people. And we give you glory and we give you praise. This and many other blessings we ask in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen, saints. We're coming to you tonight, amen, talking about a church that has fallen asleep. God dealt with me about this message tonight. And I thank God for a living word, amen, a word that is a present help in time of trouble, amen, a word spoken in due season, praise God. So I give God glory and I give God praise for his ministry tonight and certain angels that are sent forth to minister to those of us that are heirs of salvation. And you should be praising God as well. If you know him, it's to love him. To know him is to love him. Amen. And God just spoke this into my spirit while I was waiting for the broadcast tonight. He told me, he said, it's not hard to have faith. It's not difficult to believe God when you know who he is. Praise God. When you know him, hallelujah, it's easy to believe. So I give God glory and I give God praise, amen, for that little tidbit tonight, amen. But let's go, amen, into the book of Revelations chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse 1. And in verse 1 it says, "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful," that's what we're going to talk about tonight, being watchful to the things of God. The church is asleep. That means we're not being watchful. But, amen, the Bible says that John the Revelator told the church of Sardis, "Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God." Okay, let's go to verse 3. "Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent." This is why the Lord always says, keep a repentant heart, keep a repentant spirit, amen. You don't have to always know what you're repenting for. You just need to be repentant when you deal with God, because he's holy, amen. And like Isaiah said, you know, I'm unholy, I'm undone, amen. But he was saved. But when he came into the presence of God, he realized how undone he was and how unholy he was to stand before a holy and a just God. And, you know, that lets me know when people don't have a repentant spirit, a repentant heart, it lets me know that you have not been in the presence of God, because there's no way you can go in the presence of the King and not realize how low you are. Amen? So I say all that to say, God is the one that restores us. God is the one that lifts us up. God is the one that brings us back to our state of perfection. But it's in him that we live and move and have our being, and our righteousness is as filthy rags. We are nothing outside of Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible says when he sees us, he sees Jesus. Amen. So in verse 3 it says, "Remember how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch," talking about being watchful again, "I will come on thee as a thief in the night." And this is what the Lord, many times when he talks about his return, and he talks about the church being asleep, and the enemy sowing tares among the wheat, and all of that, which we're going to get to if we have time tonight. But he said, "I will come on thee as a thief in the night." God, the Lord Jesus said he was going to come back as a thief in the night, saints. Amen, and we're going to talk about that tonight, being a thief in the night. We're going to talk about being watchful, and the church needs to be more prayerful and more watchful, because he said watch as well as pray, amen. And he says he's coming back for a church that's looking for him, that's expecting for him to return any moment. So he says, when you see these things that are happening in the world, know that the time is near. Amen. And that is what the enemy does not want. The devil does not want us to be watchful and mindful that Jesus Christ is to return very soon. He wants us to get caught up in all types of other things. Amen. And we're going to talk about that as well. Because we are getting really off base. We're getting off task. We're losing our focus. Our priorities are not right. And these are some of the things that God showed John the Revelation later about the church in the last days. But here in verse 3, he says, hold fast that which thou hast, and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. We're going to read on down through verse 4 and 5. He said, thou hast a few names in Sardis which have not defiled their garments. So this was a church. But he said, you only have a few. I hope you heard that, a few. The Bible says there are a few that be saved. There's that word few again. Not many. There are few. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis. This was the church which have not defiled their garments. That's our robe of righteousness. Amen. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Remember Jesus said, pray that you be counted worthy to escape things that's coming on the world. We have to realize the righteous are scarcely going to be saved. And this is why I preach so hard, because I want us to realize it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The God that we have to deal with, he is awesome. Amen. And he is Amen. Omniscient, omnipotent, all-powerful everywhere, and he is the creator of the universe. He created us. Amen. And the scientists still don't understand how the human body works. He created everything. And, you know, we tend to forget about God and how great he is and how minor we are. That's why David said, who am I that thou art mindful of me? Because David knew who God was. See, this is what the enemy doesn't want. He doesn't want you to know who God is, because it makes you put yourself in the right perspective. You won't be heady and high-minded, because the Bible says a haughty heart, head goes before a fall. A haughty spirit goes before a fall. You won't be heady and high-minded. You won't be all caught up in self. You won't be saying, look what my hands have done, like Nebuchadnezzar did, or look what I have accomplished, amen, or look at me. You won't be focusing on you. You'll be focusing on Jesus, amen, and that's what we need to get back to. But the Bible says, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Verse 5, he that overcometh, and I love this verse, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before the angels. So this scripture right here proves that you can have your name written in the Lamb's book of life. That means you can be saved. Amen. But he said, pray that you, he said, he will not blot your name out of his book. It's just like he wrote it in there, he can blot it out. Amen. So I'm just telling you what the word said. You can believe all the day long, once saved, always saved, but the scripture does not back that up when you eat the whole roll. And it says, I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Verse 6, he that have an ear to hear, let what the Spirit saith unto the churches, let him hear. He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. Okay, we're going to stop right there and go on to the next verse. Let me go back to my notes and make sure I covered everything. In my notes, I put down, we are commanded to watch in verse 3. So in verse 3 it said, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If thou therefore shalt not watch, he said, I will come on you as a thief in the night. Now, John the Revelator was speaking to a local body church in Sardis, and he said, hold fast and repent. He also said, be watchful, for he will come as a thief in the night. We talked about that. The time the Lord spoke about his coming, he told us to be watchful. Now, this is what the Lord showed me. Instead of being watchful for his return, the enemy has us off watching all types of television shows, home movies, getting caught up into our own thing, being entertained and having a ball. Let's look at some scriptures that Jesus said concerning his return. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 24, verse 38. And I want to go up and start in the beginning of the chapter of church, of course. I mean, in that thought, the paragraph, it starts in verse 36, Matthew 24 and 36. Let's read this. The Bible says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. Now, we're talking about the return of the Lord. Of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So as they were in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the days of the Son of Man. Now let's talk about this and really examine these scriptures here. In verse 38, for as in the days that were before the flood, they were, look what they were doing. They were eating and drinking or feeding the flesh, amen, giving in to fleshful desires, not seeking God, amen, marrying and giving in marriage. This is very important. I want to dedicate a little bit of time tonight to this, talking about marrying and giving in marriage. What does this mean? And the Bible says they did this until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not, verse 39, that the flood, until the flood came. And Noah got in the ark and God shut the door. Hallelujah. The Bible says if you read that story, God shut the door. Noah did not shut the door. God shut the door because God determined when it was time to shut the door and nobody else could get in. But the Bible says that these people were lost because they did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Verse 40. No, we're not going to talk about that. It's talking about the rapture. I want to stick with being watchful because I don't want to lose my point. Okay, so every time the Lord spoke about his coming, he told us to be watchful. Looking at these scriptures, as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. What does marrying and giving in marriage mean? I think, and this is just me, I put it in a question format because as a teacher, a lot of times we have to ask questions to get you to thinking. Could it mean same-sex marriages? Transgender marriages. You turn the TV on now, you always see some type of transgender person. I don't even have to call their name. You know, all these people on TV now talking about they getting their sex changed. They was born a man, but they really a woman. This is a form of homosexuality because it's a man that was born a man changing into a woman to have sex with a man. It's all the same thing. Homosexuals. Marrying and giving in marriage, same-sex marriage. Let's talk about that for a minute. The Bible says they were marrying and giving in marriage. That means they were legalizing certain things concerning marriage. And that's why I say it's talking about same-sex marriage. They were giving in marriage. They were giving away people or condoning the act of marriage in a way that was not pleasing to God. Now, we know condones marriage between a man and a woman. I don't care what nobody say. Until Jesus come back, that's what I'm going to preach. Not every preacher is going to be able to preach that. I understand that. But I'm trying to live for him, and I will determine in my heart, no matter what persecution comes, to live for righteousness' sake and to preach the truth. Now, the Greek word here is ekgamizo, and it means as a father gives a daughter in marriage. Why would Jesus mention marrying and giving in marriage when he talks about what's going to be happening right before he returns? Marriage in and of itself is not sinful. So there had to be a particular kind of marriage that they were allowing in those days that was not pleasing to God, our Heavenly Father, the same way it is today. As of today, the Supreme Court has approved same-sex marriages. That's number one. Most of our larger corporations allow same-sex benefits to employees that are not married but live in a homosexual lifestyle. A lot of you didn't know that. But if a person is homosexual and they live with somebody and that's their significant other, even before the law was passed, most companies had in their bylaws that if a person was homosexual, their significant other could partake of their medical benefits, which, you know, I didn't think that was fair when I was in my sin and shacking up. I wanted my partner to be on my benefits, but no. You know why? Because they said, but thank God we're married now, amen, because I did backslide, which I'm not ashamed to say. Thank God he saved me out of that, my backslidden state. I was backslid for 7 years. But I said all that to say this. Homosexuals now can get benefits on their health insurance for their significant other, even in states where same-sex marriage companies have already jumped on board with that ship anyway. Now, heterosexuals living together are denied the same benefits qualification. Of course, they argue that homosexuals would be married if it was legally allowable, so therefore they're going to allow them to take care of their benefits with them. Now, I want to name some states that allow same-sex marriage. Illinois, Hawaii, New Jersey, California, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Iowa, Vermont, New Hampshire, Washington, D.C., New York, Rhode Island, Delaware, and Minnesota. These are states that have passed same-sex marriage laws. Now, it's about a third, about 14 states that have done this, maybe 16. Every day is more and more condoning it and passing laws. But so far, from what I can see from Googling today, it was about 14 or 16 states that have same-sex marriage laws. Okay, we have 52 states. So a little bit less than 20% of the states have signed on already. But there's going to be more and more states that sign on to this, and because the Supreme Court has already said they don't even want to hear cases anymore about same-sex marriages or same-sex laws, they're leaving it up to the states. If they do take it to the Supreme Court, it's going to be approved. But pretty soon, every state is going to have same-sex marriage. It's just coming because we're living in the last days. Now, let's finish reading in Matthew 24:38. As in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. They were eating and drinking. I'm just repeating this again because I want you to soak it in. They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Notice he did not say they were watching for his return, but they were concerned about their needs and desires over what, pray the Lord's Prayer, pray thy will be done, not my will be done, but thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus told Peter to get thee behind me, Satan, because thou desirest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of man. That is the state that the church is in right now. We are more concerned about the things that are benefiting man than we are about the things that benefit God and his kingdom. And if Jesus could turn around to Peter in a moment, in a second of time, the same man who in the same chapter a few minutes later, he said, whom do men say that I am? Or a few minutes before that, he said, whom do men say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter was saved. Peter knew the Lord. Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. The same man who had this revelation from God, a few minutes before that or a few minutes after that, Jesus was rebuking him, telling him, get thee behind me, Satan. Looking at Peter, speaking about Peter now, because Peter said, far be it from thee that Jesus was not going to go to the cross. Jesus said, you desire the things that be of man and not the things that be of God. Jesus did not play when it came to the devil, and we need to stop playing when it comes to the devil as well. We need to apply this word to our life 100%. It's not like they used to sing a song when I first got saved, 99 and a half won't do. We don't sing those type of songs no more, but you know what? That's still in my spirit. 99 and a half will not do. You got to give God 100%, and you have to walk in the Word 100%. You can't walk in the Word 50%. You have to walk in the Word 100%. Amen? That's why the Bible says, few there be that be saved. And it says, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, but broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction. Because many there be that are going into hell every day, even in the church world. You have people that's going to hell because they're not putting God first, and they're not building a relationship with God. That's why Jesus said, when they say, we have cast out devils in your name, we have done many marvelous works in your name, he's going to say, depart from me, for I never knew you. It's about building a relationship with Jesus Christ. Look at verse 39. We're still in Matthew 24. The Bible said, they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall it be when the coming of the Son of Man shall be. We're going to read verse 40. Then shall two be in the field, and one shall be taken, and the other left. That's talking about the rapture. Let me go back up. We're in Matthew 24. Okay. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken, and the other left. Talking about at work. Watch ye therefore, verse 42. This is the point I want to get to. Watch ye therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doeth come. You have to be watchful because we don't know when Jesus is coming. Remember, he said, I'm coming as a thief in the night. But look at verse 43. But this know, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief was coming, he would have watched and would not have suffered or allowed his house to be broken up or broken into. Verse 44, this is Jesus admonishing us as the church what we should do. He said, therefore, be ye also ready. Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. This is what scares me into preaching the way that I preach. I'm afraid not to preach. Of course, it'd be easy to get some easy message that don't offend nobody, that sound good, that's going to make my ministry grow by leaps and bounds. But you know what? I don't care about that. I don't care about tickling people's ears and preaching what people want to hear. All I care about is pleasing God, and that's what it's going to take for us to make it in, saints. I am scared. Paul said, woe be unto me if I preach not the gospel, if I preach not the truth. Amen? So this is what scares me, amen, not being faithful to God, not looking for his return, not being acceptable, not seeking to be pleasing in his sight. This should be the heartbeat of the church. Matthew 24 and 38, it says, we read that before, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. They were not looking for his return. Verse 39, they knew not until the flood came and took them away, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Let's talk about verse 42 again. It says, watch therefore, for you know not what hour the Lord doeth come. Watch is translated, watch in the Bible. This word is translated 21 times, watch, the Hebrew word. And it's translated one time, wake, and it's translated one time to be vigilant. It means to give strict attention to and to be cautious. That means we have to give strict attention to the Lord's return and to be cautious of the Lord's return. Matthew 26 and 41 says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit is indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. This is when Jesus was talking to his disciples. He said to the church, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. So as well as watching, we have to be prayerful. Jesus here is using the watch phrase with prayer. So we must watch as well as pray. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 12, verse 36. And the Bible says, and we're going to start in verse 35. Jesus said, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. Remember the scripture about the 10 virgins whose lights, who ran out of oil? Their lights were now burning, saints. The Bible says here in Luke 12 and 35, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord. This is what I'm talking about, waiting for our Lord and looking for his return. When he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him. This is my key verse, verse 37. Blessed are those servants. We want to be among the number that's called blessed. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. At the marriage supper of the Lamb, Jesus is going to come and serve us if we are blessed enough to be watching. Remember when Elijah told Elisha, if you see me when I'm taken away, that means he had to stay on him. He couldn't let nothing get in between him and Elijah. He said, I'm going to see him when he's taken away because I want a double portion of his spirit. When it's something that you want bad enough, you are very careful and very cautious about it. Amen. You carry it like a treasure. Amen. And the Bible says in verse 37 in Luke chapter 12, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, he shall gird himself, make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. Verse 38, and if he shall come in the second watch or in the third watch, so we don't know when he's coming, and find them so, blessed are those servants. 39 says again, if the good men of the house had known what hour the thief was coming, he would have watched and not suffered or allowed his house to be broken into. Be ye therefore also ready, verse 40, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour when you think not. This is why we should be so careful, saints, not to be asleep, but to be awoke and waiting for him to return and looking for him and expecting him. Okay, let's turn, amen. I want to turn over to Mark chapter 13. And read a little bit in Mark chapter 13, verse 33. And the Bible says, I want to start up in verse 32. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels that are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not what the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man, this is verse 34. The Son of Man is as a man that taketh a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning. Least coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. This is what we're going to get into next, the next finish another night. Least coming suddenly, he findeth you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. This is Mark chapter 13. Now, Jesus told us in Mark 13 and 33 to watch and pray, for we know not when the time is. Verse 34 explains what he expects from us. Jesus left heaven, came to earth. He said, it's as a man that taketh a journey into a far country. So this is Jesus comparing himself to going into a far country. He left heaven and he came to earth and gave authority to his servants. Now, when this word authority is exousia in the original Greek, and it means, it's a word that we taught on before in manner teaching, it means the authority, that you have authority from Christ to do the works that he did. Amen. To do what he did. Amen. And the Bible says right here, it means to do what he did or in the place of, to every man his work. So he gave us a work to do. That's why another scripture says, occupy until I come. And he commanded the porter to watch. Amen. Verse 36, don't let him find you sleeping. Verse 37, he said, what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Amen. The church is asleep and does not know it. Amen. References for sleep. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 13, verse 25. Turn on over there. I think I'm going to finish this tomorrow night because it's really burning in my spirit to preach, to finish this message. Okay, in Matthew 13 and 24, the Bible says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man that sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, talking about the church here, while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. So another scripture that talks about sleep deals with the enemy coming while you are sleeping and sowing tares or bad seed in the midst of the harvest. Amen. This is what the devil is doing in the church. He's coming in while we're asleep and sowing tares among the wheat. Matthew 25 and verse 5. This is still another verse that's talking about sleep. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. So while Jesus is away, or while he's tarrying his coming, the Bible says they all slumbered and slept. This is talking about the church. Ephesians 5 and 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. That's Ephesians 5 and 14. Awake thou that sleepest. God is commanding us to awake as a church, to arise from the dead, and Christ shall give us light. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 6 through 7. Therefore, let us not sleep, the Bible says, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. Sleep here metaphorically means to yield to sloth and sin, or to be indifferent to one's salvation. So the church is asleep because we are being indifferent to our salvation. We are not appreciating what Christ has done for us. We are eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, just having a good time. Amen. And the next scripture is in Matthew. We'll finish up the scripture in Matthew. He gave authority to his servants. Authority, again, is exousia, and that means power to serve and to every man his work. So we're going to finish tomorrow night. We have some more scriptures talking about sleep. We're going to talk about the gifts. Amen. We're going to continue to read about being steadfast. And I want to read this scripture real quick in 1 Corinthians 15 and 58. And this scripture really blessed me tonight. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Praise God. That encouraged me because sometimes we are doing a work for God and we feel like we're not getting anything. feel like we're not getting anywhere in the work of the Lord. But he said, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, and Colossians 3:24, I'm going to say this, I'm going to end, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So our time is out. I'm going to end with thanking you for listening in. God bless you. If you enjoyed this message, email me at manna_teaching@yahoo.com. Amen. Or you can call me at 770-728-2274 for prayer. God bless you, and I love you. Good night.